the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to a long-awaited 75th episode of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
And I'm Kat.
No Anne this week. I'll talk more about where we've been and everything at the end of the show, but thank you so much for being patient with us. I know it's been a month since we've all been back together, so for the first time in a month, Kat, let's jump into some news.
Okay, so the first piece of news is what is all a buzz right now in the Disney World and Disneyland universe. So there is a big change coming to Pirates of the Caribbean, where the auction scene is going to be from auctioning quote-unquote brides to just like a random auction scene. But the redhead animatronic is going to be changed into a pirate.
Yeah, so I was listening to Jim Hill talk about this just the other day, and he said, you know, if you go up to that animatronic right now, if you were to be on stage in the bride auction scene and you lifted up the skirt of the redhead, you know, she has no legs. It's just a tube. All the moving parts are what you see above the waistline. And so they are turning the redhead into a figure like the Johnny Depp figures throughout the ride.
See, I think it's... So, I've seen both sides of the story. It is very bad for, like, the view of women, I guess, because it is basically the sex labor or industry in the 1700s.
Sure.
But I also do like the traditional tradition of it. But I think it's really cool that she's they're not just changing her like to just be a regular woman. They're changing her into a pirate.
Well, so like, you know, one of the things that gets overlooked because there is okay, one thing real quick that I think needs to be said. People keep saying this is politically correct. It's not politically correct if it is replacing something that is just awful, right? I mean,
right.
If what we're talking about is just basic human respect, it's not exactly politically correct. But that's neither here nor there. A couple of points there. Number one, the redhead was supposed to be a pirate all along when this was when Pirates of the Caribbean was conceived of as something called the Rogues Gallery, a walkthrough version of the attraction, because there was, in real life, a very famous female pirate named Anne Bonny. And that's who the redhead character was supposed to be based on. So, in a way, this is going back to the original concept for the ride. And I wanted to hit on what you said, because I am 99.99% on board with this. Look, it's 2017. Do we really need this human trafficking scene? Does it really add anything to the overall feeling of the ride in the first place? But there is that 0.01% of me that thinks, well, this is a ride about pirates, right? Like, they aren't good people.
Right.
So I'm a little bit torn. I know the fact that I'm a little bit torn probably speaks to that fanboy instinct in me. But I do think, you know, we do have to remember the jaunty little song they sing does mention that they rape.
Yes, it does.
So maybe Pirates is due for an overhaul. And if you want to call it PC, call it PC. But maybe we do need to step back and think this song we sang as kids because we love the Disney parks does feature like these guys singing about rape with just glee in their voice.
Yeah. And going on with, yeah, I'm just thinking about the lyrics of the song right now. Sorry. But going along with this story, apparently there is a petition to keep the auction scene, and it's at, right now it's at like 25,000 signatures, but who knows where this petition is, but it's very unlikely that Disney will respond to the petition, but the website that I found it on says, we'll keep you updated on the story as more information becomes available.
Is it change.org? Is that where the petition is?
Yes, I just read that.
Yeah, so change.org is sort of where everybody goes to post their insane, in some cases, very valid petitions. I think people need to be aware when they sign a change.org petition or start a change.org petition, Disney is not under any obligation to even acknowledge this thing. Like, their mind is made up.
Yeah. No. Change.org, I don't think is... Well, I don't know. I've never seen anything come out of change.org, so maybe...
No,
I
agree with you. It's not like, is it whitehouse.org or maybe it's senate.org? One of those two, if it gets 10,000 signatures, the government is required to respond in some way. Change.org is just a private site some dude started.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. What else do we have?
So I heard this on my local radio station, I think it was last week, actually, and it's that Donald Trump is actually going to speak at the Hall of Presidents. Go ahead.
It was nice the time that I spent with the Hall of Presidents. I'm sorry our relationship has come to an end.
Until he is done, right?
I don't know. Look, I'll be honest with you. I haven't been in the Hall of Presidents in like 7 years anyway, so it's not like they're losing a repeat customer here.
Right. but this says, since the Magic Kingdom Park... Oh, and this is from the official Disney Parks blog. Since the Magic Kingdom Park opened in 1971, the Hall of Presidents has brought together a one-of-a-kind look at the office of the President of the United States through film and the magic of Disney's audio animatronic technology. Blah, blah, blah. Basically, Trump will have a speaking role like every president since 1993, which is only three. The president's recording session has been scheduled. The attraction will reopen in late 2017.
What did I tell you last time we did the show? Like, this seems like the kind of thing that Donald Trump would have such trouble staying away from. Because yeah. it is just a gigantic ego stroke for any of the three presidents that recorded a speaking role in this. I genuinely believe that this is going to be the precipice for, do we really need this attraction anymore?
Yeah, but I think it's going to stay forever. I don't know.
It might, but I mean, you know, you are talking about now, this will be the fourth president in a row, because, let's be honest, it is just a matter of time before we hear about a disturbance at the park, someone shouting at a robot. But it will be the fourth president in a row that a crowd has reacted to that way. When I say with some frequency, I don't mean it's going to be happening every day. It certainly didn't happen every day to the George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama animatronics. But it did happen with enough frequency that there is a protocol for the cast members to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So I think we are so divided, and I know that the idea behind that attraction is actually to combat that divide as best as possible, but I don't know how you have that attraction in a place that is supposed to give you a break from the real world.
That's true. I do agree with that. I don't know. I will probably, I never went to I guess we went to the Hall of Presidents a couple of times when I was younger, but the last time I actually remember was my honeymoon 2 years ago, so.
For me, it's even longer than that, because I can't even say with certainty that I saw the Barack Obama animatronic. I know for a fact I saw the George W. Bush one. I know for a fact I saw the Clinton one. I can't say with any certainty that I saw Obama, so maybe my boycott of the Hall of Presidents actually began 8 years ago.
My fellow Americans.
All right, what else do we have?
So, some exciting news for me. As everyone knows, I love Rey, and she has finally appeared in Hollywood Studios.
Oh, no kidding.
But not as a meet and greet, unfortunately. But the Star Wars A Galaxy Far, Far Away stage show, have you ever watched that?
Not... on purpose. It is one of those things where coming out of the great movie ride, we've seen it and we've stopped.
I've seen it from behind, I guess, because you see the characters come out of the tent and walk up to the stage and then go on stage.
Right.
Like Darth Vader and who else did I see? Oh, I saw Chewbacca and C-3PO, but I've never actually like seen the show, so I have no idea what it does. But apparently, they added Rey to their lineup alongside BB-8, Chewbacca, and all the other fun favorite characters. So that's the only way you can see her. Honestly, maybe I'm just too critical. I'm looking at a picture of Rey, and she looks like Rey, but the wig is awful.
Didn't we talk about this a few months ago when they were casting for Rey? I feel like there's something that led us to believe that she might be part of the Star Wars Day at Sea event for the cruise line.
I don't know, but that could still be a possibility too, I guess.
All right. This kind of, like, it certainly makes sense that you would include her right now, because we are past that halfway point in 2017, and that means we are closer than further away from The Last Jedi. So
yeah.
You certainly want to start reminding people, hey, remember Rey? Hey, remember Finn? Like, we're going to start seeing those characters brought into, whether it's appearances at the park or just back on merchandise. But
yeah.
But I like that. I mean, look, I like those characters. I know that, I think coming off of Rogue One, a lot of people got critical, a little bit more critical of The Force Awakens. But I still like those characters. For my kids, those are their Star Wars characters.
They're basically my Star Wars characters, too, because they're the ones who made me like the movies.
Ah, well, there you go.
I know. Sorry to all the diehard Star Wars fans, including my friends who listen to the podcast.
That's okay. I still am a diehard Chewbacca guy, so technically you overlap with mine. We have no beef.
Okay.
Anything else in the news this week?
So we have a last news story, and it kind of will have to do with the rumors that we talk about later.
Okay.
So Siemens, who sponsor Spaceship Earth and Illuminations, is going to end their sponsorship in October. There's not really any statements from either company besides, this has been a great collaboration. Disney says, thank you for helping create unforgettable memories for our guests for the past 12 years. And Siemens is pretty much like, thank you for having us support you, blah, blah, blah. So there's more to this in rumors, but basically, there we go. No more Siemens.
Okay, so I will do my best to sort of put this in context for people without stepping on what any of your rumors may be. It is more amazing, because I believe this relationship started in 2005. It is more amazing that it lasted this long than it is that Siemens is pulling out now that we are hearing about all these rumors about a overhaul coming to Epcot, because Siemens in 2008 and then again in 2012 had massive layoffs. I'm talking tens of thousands of people across the globe. So the fact that they kept sponsoring this, two Disney World attractions, right? Because weren't they also the sponsorship for Illuminations?
Yes.
Yeah, so the fact they kept pouring money into this while they were having to let people go was kind of a shock. The other thing is, for Disney, this could be really good. This could mean that they have other sponsors lined up, or this could be really bad, because it's, if you're trying to overhaul Future World, how bad does it look to have the key sponsor of the park pulling out right now?
But who sponsored Spaceship Earth before Siemens?
Was it, I want to say, General Electric?
That makes sense. And didn't Kodak sponsor a lot in Disney World, too?
Kodak definitely sponsored the Imagination Pavilion. I think, did they sponsor that old 3D movie that was in the theater that PhilharMagic is in now?
I don't know, because I don't remember anything before PhilharMagic. People always talk about the Lion King ride, and I'm like, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it wasn't a ride. It was just a puppet show. I want to say, I know GE sponsored... Man, maybe GE didn't sponsor it. I think AT&T sponsored it for a very brief period of time, Spaceship Earth.
But
I'm almost positive GE was the long-haul one before Siemens took over for a long time.
I'm going to look it up.
All right. This always makes
for
good podcasting, live Googling.
I know, sorry, guys. I'm very bad at talking and researching at the same time.
No problem. As we inch ever closer to, I guess, just an unveiling of the plans for Epcot 3.0. I mean, it looks like we're getting hints here and there, and I'm sure we will cover this more and more in the rumor roundup, which we're going to do coming up in the next segment. But it is going to be interesting to me to see not only who they get on board and for how long, because I don't think we live in the days of, you know, Siemens, a company like Siemens, agreeing to a 12-year contract to stay on as a sponsor. But also, I wonder if Disney is going to put an emphasis on, you know, we want GM to be a part of the Motion Pavilion. We want Kodak to be a part of the Imagination Pavilion, because that's part of what they do. Or this is just going to be, we'll take what we can get at this point.
Oh, here we go. This doesn't give a history. Never mind. I don't know. Living the, right. The Land is sponsored by Chiquita.
Right.
Test Track is Chevrolet. We all knew that. Club Cool and Inventions. See, all these we know. Wait,
yeah.
What's
Exxon?
Yeah.
It was Universe of Energy. Yeah, Colortopia is Glidden Paints, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Colortopia.
We all know these.
Colortopia is, boy, it's sad that that came into Interventions the time it did, right? Because that actually, I think, is a really fun little experience, but it's not fun enough to carry an entire building on its own, which essentially it does now.
We only went in there because that's where the annual pass holder, like, little shopping area was.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that's actually the other side of Interventions, right or wrong?
I don't even know. I don't know.
All right. Well, now is as good a time as any to say thank you so much for listening to the Extra Magic Hour. We have a ton of rumors to go through, and we will do that coming up next.
Hey, everyone. It's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I want to take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel, and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's katarina at magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
So because it has been a while since we have been with you, it has been a while since we've gone through rumors. We know that we are probably not going to be telling you any rumors for the very first time right now, but let's go through the rumor roundup because we, me and Kat, have not talked about them with each other since a lot of these rumors broke. So Kat, how do you want to do this?
Three websites pulled up.
Uh-huh.
Like tabs. So, and one tab is all like Epcot rumors.
All right, well, let's start with the Epcot rumors, and we'll basically break them up by land. So we'll do Future World rumors, and then we'll do World Showcase rumors.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Some of these are just, like, one-word sentences, that's the rumor. Like, there's no details with it. That's just the rumor.
All right.
Okay. So, apparently, there's going to be this is in Tomorrowland, well, kind of. It's the entrance. So, you know how there's the Leave a Legacy tombstones?
Yes.
Apparently, they might be taking those out.
About time. I mean, speaking as somebody whose mother paid a lot of money for them to leave a legacy, it's about time for those to go.
I just don't get them. Like, everybody's like, what are these? Like, when I went with my friends, they were like, what are these? And I was like, I don't know. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's because they didn't sell enough to cover all the stones, they make no sense.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think they're kind of ugly.
They are. They're not kind of ugly. They're very ugly.
Okay, well, awesome. Spaceship Earth. Okay, so we just said Siemens is leaving their sponsorship. So now the rumor that's attached to that is that Spaceship Earth is going to get an update. And Illuminations will also might be getting an update. But
I think Illuminations getting an update, it is two things simultaneously. It is the rumor that will never go away, because I feel like we've been hearing this for about 5 years now. And also, I think it's kind of the worst-kept secret in the industry that there is an update ready to go. They're just waiting for the top brass to give it the go-ahead to spend the money to make it happen.
For Illuminations?
Yes.
I think it's kind of like the whole Wishes thing, because like the Wishes rumor was forever, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Could
yeah,
be.
But, I guess people are like, yeah, let's fix the problematic finale portion. But what's wrong with the finale? I like creating my own world. Whatever.
You're talking about for Spaceship Earth.
Yes.
I think the problem with the finale is you have this gigantic room that you could be doing something with, and all you have is a projection of the Earth. Like, I mean, that's what always strikes me.
Oh, the finale.
Yeah, that's what always strikes me from the finale is not, isn't it cool to see Earth as you're, you know, flying back down in your spaceship. It is, I can see the outline of all this space where stuff used to be.
Really? I can't see that, but maybe it's because I just have a terrible memory, and I don't remember anything before, like, 2010.
I mean, you're also, what, 24, 25?
25.
I mean, I feel like, what I remember, I feel like was there when I was 16 or 17, so, you know, that would have been... Okay. Almost 20 years ago at this point.
Okay, well, because I, like, talking about our friends from Two Men and a Mouse, they always talk about the Jeremy Irons Epcot or Spaceship Earth, and I'm just like, I would love to hear this because I love the voice of Scar.
Right.
Like, what? I want to know this, but I don't. I don't remember it.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
I don't pay attention.
Who was it before Jeremy Irons? Jeremy Irons was an update, too. Was it Walter Cronkite, I think, first?
I just read this on... Wikipedia, and I already forget.
I mean, the attraction it lives somewhere in this weird universe between still being a must-do kind of thing, because I think they've done a very good job of keeping it up, and also still feeling dated.
Yeah, I can agree with that, because we always use a fast pass. Our first fast pass is always Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
Just because it's right there.
Yeah. But. All right, what else do we have on the docket for future?
So, Innovations Plaza is going to get an overhaul. It's going to include a multi-level table service, a remodeled mouse gear, demolishing Innovations East and West, and a new plaza behind Spaceship Earth will offer easier access to the rest of Future World.
Good, because the setup of it right now makes no sense, particularly with nothing in either Interventions dimension. I think that a multi-level, did you say a multi-level table service restaurant?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I would have thought expanding Electric Umbrella a little bit more would have made more sense, but table service is certainly more attractive.
But isn't Electric Umbrella a multi-level... Isn't there an upstairs?
There
it's
is.
Usually blocked off.
There is, but it's a quick serve. I mean, that's the differentiation here. You know, it's weird. If they do, and this just dawned on me, if they do a multi-level table service there, Future World almost becomes a sort of World Showcase Pavilion in that way, because every World Showcase Pavilion has their table service and their quick serve.
That's true.
Nah, look at me. Look at me putting two and two together like a smart boy.
You are.
And expanding mouse gear, I mean, I don't think it needs it, but look, any chance to put in more square footage that makes money, right?
Yep, very true.
All right.
Plus, I love shopping in I love shopping in the biggest, what's it called? Biggest shops in each park.
I agree with you. Here is a hot take, unpopular opinion, mouse gear, better than the Emporium.
I know someone who would agree with you.
Who is that?
Peter Mandel.
Who?
Peter Mandel from Two Men and a Mouse.
Oh. You cut out there. That's why I couldn't understand what you were saying. Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. The flow of the Emporium, now that it is multiple stores connected, it feels like a mess to me. Mouse Gear feels right.
I I can agree with you to some extent. I just like the fact of walking through Emporium while also looking outside at Main Street.
I hear you.
But
You're not wrong. That's for sure. But Mouse Gear has a better Christmas section, and I am a sucker for a good Christmas section.
I can agree with that one too.
All right, what else do we have?
We all know this rumor, Guardians of the Galaxy or Tron replacing the Universe of Energy. We will find out soon enough,
All right.
probably.
So I have heard the rumor is that Disney is negotiating with the company that built the Tron coaster in Shanghai that they want to get a multi-track version of the coaster to go into Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, see, that's what one of this says. There's still lots of speculation that it's actually going to be in Magic Kingdom.
The other thing too is so not just something Guardians of the Galaxy going into Universe of Energy, but I keep reading that Guardians of the Galaxy is more than just an attraction going into Epcot.
Like,
Like
meet and greets would move there?
maybe meet and greets would
Or.
move there, or you would have this situation where, because think about it, Universe of Energy actually is not that big of a building. Because think about when you're in the ride, it's only what, four rooms?
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe do you turn that into a dining or dining and shopping sort of gateway to whatever the East Coast version of Mission Breakout is going to be, and maybe that's actually either in the Wonders of Life Pavilion or in on land that's not built on yet. And then so much was made in the last movie of the of how they flew through space. I do wonder if Mission Space is going to get some sort of Guardians of the Galaxy overhaul.
But they're already doing a mission space update right now.
Right, but if this is if this becomes its own land, maybe Mission Space would be like phase two of this. Because in the only thing
That
they're
makes sense.
in the only thing they're updating really in Mission Space is video. It's not like they're doing a major building overhaul.
Well, let me tell you,
Oh
that's one of
boy.
the rumors.
All right.
It says a new ride on or a new on-ride film and a lot of cosmetic upgrades are likely. So
Okay.
yeah, so cosmetics and just like a paint job.
Yeah,
And then.
I think that whatever happens to that area with Guardians of the Galaxy, I said that they could build on top of Wonders of Life. I don't think they're going to do that, right? Because we've talked about this
No.
before, how much money as a convention space the Wonders of Life Pavilion generates.
That's true. When Mission Space says a new on-ride film, does that mean no more Gary Sinise?
No, maybe not. I mean, it could mean Gary Sinise is brought back to do something new.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh, kind of like Patrick Warburton.
Right.
Well, that's still the same ride, though, isn't it? I
That's still
mean,
it's the same. His part is the same film.
yeah,
But Gary
so.
Sinise does seem like one of these guys that has this weird contract where he has to come whenever Disney calls.
Hey, that's a. I would love to have that job.
All right. Anything else in Future World?
Okay. Yes, we have a couple more.
Okay.
Just three more. We've heard this one, Inside Out replacing the Imagination Pavilion. The land reimagining, we've kind of talked about that. A new film to replace Circle of Life, which would be great, because apparently that movie stinks.
Yes.
And then an upgrade for the Living with the Land boat ride, which, even though that can be boring sometimes, I still think it's cool.
No, I agree.
So.
I wrote it for the first time in years, back in May of last year, and it is, I enjoy the science part of it, and I also enjoy the very simplistic animatronics of it.
Yeah, and I also just enjoy like some Epcot is like one of the biggest parks, like one of the days you do the most walking. So it's nice just to like sit and relax,
Yeah.
because you have the whole row to yourself.
Right. Not only in the cool, but in the dark as well, which is
Yeah.
very welcome in a park with very little tree cover.
Yes.
So have you heard the new rumor attached to Inside Out going into the Imagination Pavilion?
No.
That Figment is not going away. Perhaps there would just be a flip-flop of the ride becoming Inside Out and the film becoming a short Figment movie.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't think is the worst thing in the world for people that love that character, because
I don't think so either.
could that then be the gateway to Figment getting his own feature film?
Ooh, possibly. And for people who love Figment, I bet they would eat that up.
I think so too. I think so too. And certainly if you moved Figment to the movie, you could do something easier. It would be easier to do something to bring Dreamfinder back.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
So.
one last one for Tomorrowland, not Tomorrowland, Future World.
Okay.
That's embarrassing. So the Seas with Nemo and Friends would become the Marine Life Institute from the movie Finding Dory.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
But also, I wonder if Finding Dory has staying power. Because I've seen it, I want to say twice, and I don't, both times I've seen it, if I feel like I'm seeing it for the first time, because it just did not stick with me at all.
I've only watched it once, and I'll tell you, I was bored towards the end, and then I thought it just went on and on and on.
Yeah.
Like, it could have ended like three different times,
So
and it didn't.
it's not that it doesn't make sense. Certainly, it makes way more sense to do that than just this weird sort of shark reef motif they have at the end now.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if this is going to be like dedicating a whole theater to Tarzan, like they did in Disneyland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so that does it for Future World Rumors. What do we have for World Showcase?
Okay, World Showcase. The big rumor that came out like 2 days ago. Actually, it might have been yesterday. I don't remember. But it's saying that there may be a new country pavilion, and it's going to be Brazil.
Ah, so
Yay!
I will piggyback onto this. Could there be two new country pavilions?
Ooh.
Because I have heard not only is Spain interested as a government in putting together the necessary, I don't know, engineers, funding, whatever they would have to provide in order to do a pavilion, but also Disney has an idea for what would be one of their most unique meet and greets if Spain were to come online. They have a very cool meet and greet idea for Gigantic.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, the way it has been described is you would have the Jack character as a face character there to meet people, and I can't remember the name of the giant, but the giant princess character would be a animatronic figure peeking in from the roof.
Oh
That
my
would have
gosh.
the interactive capability of like Turtle Talk, where you could
Oh.
talk to it and it would talk back to you.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool.
Yeah, so Gigantic just got pushed back to what, 2020 for a
Yeah.
release date. So we have some time on that one, and maybe this is maybe Brazil comes online first, and then Spain is part of the 50th anniversary.
That would be, oh my gosh. I would so totally be up for that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I like these characters yet, but that I just think that would be such a cool experience.
I agree. I think that is one of those that even if the movie is not a hit, it would be one of those that I could see Imagineers pushing for just as a let us show people what we can do kind of thing.
Yes, definitely.
All right. What else do you have for World Showcase?
I have that Coco could be replacing the Grand Fiesta Tour. Coco's the new Pixar movie coming out this no November.
Good, because the Grand Fiesta Tour is fine for what it is, but for a screen-based attraction, I don't understand why we go with a live video. I think the world of Coco probably lends itself or will lend itself more to that kind of attraction.
Yeah, I think so too. Also, I think Coco looks amazing.
Okay,
Just
so
want
I
to throw
know
that out there.
Coco is sort of suffering from the same thing that A Bug's Life did, where Ants came out before Bug's Life, and we had, what was it called, The Book of Life a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Before Coco, I mean, The Book of Life was
That was good.
it was incredible to look at, and I think it's just because of that style, that artistic style, blends it or lends itself very well to big 3D animated worlds.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
Okay, so Mulan, there's gonna be a new Mulan related film for China. All this says is they're going to add Mushu as the narrator for the history of China.
Again,
know how I feel about that. I've never seen the movie, though, so...
You've never seen Mulan?
No. I've never seen the Circle Vision movie in China. So,
yeah.
I've seen Mulan. Don't worry about that.
I've never really stopped to watch any of the films in the countries because it feels like a waste of time to me.
Last trip in March, Eric made me stop and watch the France film, which I had never seen. France is like my favorite country besides America, because I don't know why, just is, always has been. But I had never seen the movie, and so like we stopped and watched it, and I was still like, I'm bored. I want to go meet Belle. Okay.
That's, you know, we just got back from Banff, which is right outside of Calgary. And while we were there, Sally said, this makes me want to watch the Canada movie next time we're at Epcot. And I said the same thing. It was like, well, why? We've seen the real thing. And don't we want to use that time to go do stuff?
Martin Short's pretty funny, though.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong, but I don't know. That's enough to get me to sit in a theater.
Well, what do you mean sit? You have to stand the whole time, basically.
Oh, well, see, there you go. Even less of a reason for me to go.
Yeah. No, I think every movie that we see in Epcot, I will never have to see again.
You know what I would like to really see happen? I think we've talked before about the rumor about Ratatouille coming to France.
That's my next one.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we've talked about that one a lot on this show before. The other thing I would like to see is if they ever changed Impressions de France, I would like, and I know this doesn't really lend itself to French culture at all, but it would be great to see them bring over Cinemagique from their Disney studios in Paris, because it is the one thing in the whole park that is great that I wish we had in the United States. It's a weird blend of live action and film that would just be really... I feel like it would be the perfect replacement to all these 3D movies that now are no big deal in the park.
No, that makes sense. I have heard about Cinemagique, I think. Maybe I'm just imagining.
No, I mean, what made me think about it is I Martin Short is either the star or lends the voice to the star in that, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's because he's Canadian. That's
I mean, again, much like Gary Sinise, I think he has to come when Disney calls.
Probably.
Yeah.
But once again, I would love to have that job.
All right, what else is happening in World Showcase?
So, apparently there was a permit filed for something in France, and the rumor is that it's the Ratatouille ride, but there's still no actual confirmation for that, but we've talked about that a couple of times.
I'm very excited. Ratatouille is you will not argue this point, or you will not change my mind on this point. Ratatouille is the best Pixar movie of all.
Okay.
I feel very firmly about that.
That's fine. I think Up is the greatest Pixar movie of all time, but you know, everyone is allowed to have their own opinion. All
right, fair. I mean, I guess I don't like that people are allowed to have their own opinion that are different from mine, but, you know, the price of living in a free society.
I guess so. I guess that's why we celebrated the 4th of July yesterday.
All right, what, anything else happening in World Showcase?
Okay, so just one more thing, and this is one of those things that is not, or that's very vague.
Okay.
It says something for the UK, Germany, and Japan pavilions, and that's about it.
I mean... The UK pavilion, I mean, could it be maybe bringing the Alice in Wonderland ride from Disneyland?
Well, it says, or it's thinking about something with the upcoming sequel to Mary Poppins.
Oh, that, you know, that makes some sense.
Yeah, and then it says Germany could be something with Tangled, and Japan could have something with Big Hero 6.
Huh. Well, Big Hero, you know, Big Hero 6 and the whole San Francisco vibe did lend itself to a ride because of the existence of the bullet trains.
Yes.
Yeah, I wonder what they would do.
But, like, with Tangled, they have the, like, $1 million bathrooms at Magic Kingdom, so I don't know why they would want to move something to Germany.
You know what they could do? And I think maybe you could see this with Mary Poppins, too. Maybe our minds are too focused on Ride. Because hasn't a Tangled show been sort of circling the rumor mill for a while as replacing Beauty and the Beast for a while? Maybe that is what they bring to Germany.
Oh, maybe.
And I think that maybe a Mary Poppins show or some sort of music of Mary Poppins would make a lot of sense in England, because there's not a ton of space back there to do a full ride.
That's true, and they have that stage for that rock band, whatever band that is,
right
back there.
Right, there would at least probably be enough that if you tore down the gate and pushed out a little more from the garden, maybe to turn the garden into a full theater.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is Lin-Manuel Miranda making the music for Mary Poppins?
Oh, is he? I hadn't heard that.
I just know he's starring in it. So I'm just wondering if he's making the music, too, because how awesome would it be to hear his music at Disney World? It would be like my two favorite worlds colliding.
Well, very heavily rumored Moana, Mountain of Fire, Fire Mountain attraction is coming, one would think that there's going to be something involving Lin-Manuel Miranda there.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome. How cool. Oh, he's great.
All right, anything else?
Nope, that's it for Epcot.
Okay, what else do you have? What else around the world?
Okay, well, I lied. There's one more thing with Epcot, but it doesn't have to do with any of that.
Okay.
there is a rumor that the Club 33 Epcot location is going to be in the American Adventure Lounge in World Showcase.
I don't believe that.
Okay, well, the reason people are thinking this is because apparently it's had its main entrance walled off, and like it has like those signs that say our work will never be done with imagination in the world, or blah blah blah, whatever those cute little signs are with the Walt Disney quotes. Says this does not happen routinely, even before the space is used prior to the park festivals.
Right, see, that's why I don't believe that that's going to be the case. Let me backtrack a little bit. Unless there is another ideal spot for the lounge for festivals, because that is used as such a big recruiting tool during the festivals to get people to sign up for the Disney Visa card.
Yeah, that is true, because it does say it's been used as the Chase Lounge at Food and Wine events.
Right, and then also not just the Chase Lounge like a place to relax, but also if you have the Disney Visa card, if you get in early enough, you can go straight to the lounge and get tickets for the concert that day.
Oh.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe. I'd heard a while ago that Club Cool was the possible spot for Club 33.
I don't think so. I don't think they're ever going to get rid of Club Cool.
As long as Coke is paying the bill, probably not. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because I agree with you. I don't think Club Cool makes sense. I don't think either of the places that have been mentioned make a lot of sense, frankly.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, but I think it kind of makes sense that it would be in the American Pavilion, because that's smack dab in the middle of World Showcase. And it's America.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know that it has to be in World Showcase, necessarily.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, I don't have a better place to say that it should go. Maybe we're not thinking outside the box enough. Maybe it goes into whatever is going to replace Interventions.
Oh. I guess that could be a possibility.
Maybe there is a space within that area. But again, I don't know for sure. All right, yeah. Let's move out of Epcot. What else do we have rumor-wise?
Okay, so I only have one more rumor.
Okay.
So we've talked about, yay, Paint the Night rumored coming to Disney World.
Yes.
Now the rumor is Main Street Electrical Parade is going to come back after its run at Disneyland.
Okay, so I actually was listening to Jim Hill's podcast, and he mentioned this today. Don't get down about the idea of the Main Street Electrical Parade coming back. It would be a bridge to Paint the Night coming.
Okay, see, I have never minded the Main Street Electrical Parade. I like it. I like the music. I think it's fun. I think it's funky. I like Peach Dragon. or Elliot. Like, I just like all the floats, so I have nothing against Main Street Electrical Parade. It brings me back to the 90s when I actually remember seeing that parade.
I don't hate it, but also, you know, Anne and I have talked about this a lot on the show. Like, we don't really tend to stop for parades. It's a perfectly fine parade. I don't think it would matter to me if it was a Main Street Electrical Parade or Paint the Night that comes back. But what I have heard is that Main Street Electrical Parade will come back through the Halloween season, and then in the new year is when Paint the Night would be coming to Disney World.
Okay.
That's what I was hearing today. All right, if there are rumors that we did not get to that you want us to comment on, emhpodcast@gmail.com.
Wait, didn't you have one about Hollywood Studios?
Wait, didn't I have one about Hollywood Studios? What was the rumor? Oh, yes, I do. Oh, my God. Thank God you reminded me, because it's a big one.
I have been thinking about this.
Okay, so 2018, what do we get at Hollywood Studios?
That's
Toy Story, right?
Okay, Toy Story.
2019, we are supposed to be getting Star Wars. However, there is, according to a couple of websites, there is a major delay on the East Coast that does not exist on the West Coast. What that is, I don't have the details on. So maybe it's more likely 2020 we get Star Wars Land. There is a third expansion planned for Hollywood Studios.
Wow.
And it would be from One Man's Dream through the Animation Courtyard, and it would connect the Animation Courtyard to Rock and Roller Coaster and engulf Rock and Roller Coaster.
What is this?
Do you want to take a guess?
The
fact that a roller coaster is involved might give it away, because it's been floating out there for a while.
Is this the Moana thing?
No, this would be from One Man's Dream over to Rock and Roller Coaster becomes Monstropolis.
Oh my gosh.
The Rock and Roller Coaster, Aerosmith does go away, but we've all been thinking about it the wrong way. They don't replace it with another band. They completely retheme Rock and Roller Coaster to the Doors.
Oh my gosh.
Thoughts?
I kind of like that idea. I kind of like it.
I don't hate it, because I like the continuity of you go basically from immersive environment to immersive environment to immersive environment, right?
Right.
What I don't love, I guess, about it is...
Where's Tower of Terror fit into this?
Well, all right, so there's a couple things, right? Where does Tower of Terror and Sunset Boulevard in general fit into this? And B...
Yeah.
Don't you then have to do more with the Muppets Courtyard than you're currently doing just to keep up that level of immersiveness? But what I kind of don't like about this is very similar to what we were talking about with Finding Nemo. Monsters University didn't exactly have a ton of staying power.
No, I didn't like it at all, really.
I didn't hate it, but it didn't leave me with any kind of warm, fuzzy feelings.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And as I say this, understand, I don't have a better idea off the top of my head. I'm just more surprised that we are, by the time it opens, going to be literally 20 years away from the first Monsters, Inc. movie having opened. And I just don't know... I don't know that those characters made the impact. I guess if I had a better idea, I would much rather see them bring Cars Land to the East Coast.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think Cars has more staying power than Monsters.
Although, I mean, have you seen, like, the numbers for Cars 3 have not been particularly great.
Really? I heard that this one was better. Well, I guess it's not easy, or it's not hard to be better than the second movie, but I heard it was a lot better than the second movie.
In terms of quality, it's better than the first movie. I didn't love the first movie, but I'm saying in terms of the number of people paying to go see it has not been on par with the first two Cars films.
I mean, I wasn't going to go see it for $8, so I'm one of those people.
No, I don't blame you. I wrote this in my review when I reviewed Cars 3, is I feel like unless you were a 5 to 8 year old boy when the first one came out, all you kind of know of this is the toys are everywhere. But there you go. That is the rumor. And look, as much as I would like to see Cars Land come to the U.S., I'm not going to dismiss that Monstropolis could be something really cool.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting. It's just, you're right. Where would Sunset Boulevard and Tower of Terror fit in? Do you think they would overhaul Tower of Terror to, like, not necessarily something monsters, but, like, I don't know, something else?
No way. I think that Tower of Terror in Disney World it's become an icon at this point. And I don't just mean it's what's on the park merchandise. I mean the ride itself has become, to the studios, what the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean is to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I mean, I think that the California version was easy to get rid of because the California version didn't have the beloved standing that the Florida version does.
The fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and now, now the question then becomes, what happens with the Great Movie Ride? Because we've heard the Great Mickey Ride for so long now, or I guess the better part of a year at this point.
Yeah.
Where we heard it, and it seemed like it was happening, and then it became such a joke that, of course, that's never happening. But now I feel like the Great Mickey Ride would make a lot more sense than what they have the Great Movie Ride, if indeed you're going to have these three super immersive worlds surrounding it.
I think so. Just do Pixar, Star Wars, and Pixar.
Yeah, I mean, so what you would have is Pixar, Star Wars, and Mickey. Your three biggest properties at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, well, three of the four, because you can't have Marvel in Florida.
Yeah, you can't have Marvel. Yep.
All right, so there are our rumors. Like I said, emhpodcast@gmail.com if there's one you've heard that we missed.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Hey folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
The Extra Magic Hour's just about over. Aww. But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, so this show has been very long, and we're going to let you go, but I did, for people that did not read the post I put up, the reason we were gone for so long is because mine and Anne's Aunt Jo passed away at the beginning of June, and it has been super hard on the whole family, and I bring this up on our podcast because Jo was a constant presence in our trips to Disney World, and, you know, both Anne and I have very particular, very special memories of our aunt related to Disney World. I think we've talked before on the podcast, Kat, correct me if I'm wrong, that I proposed to my wife in front of the carousel at the Magic Kingdom. Have I told that story on the show before?
I think you have.
Okay. That does not happen without my Aunt Jo, because Aunt Jo is the one that sort of took charge on planning that trip, and B, I came up a little bit short of the money that I needed to buy the engagement ring for my now wife that I wanted to, and when we were in the store, my aunt just gave me the extra money, and here we are. My wife and I have been married for 12 years now, and for 12 years she would never let me pay her back. So for me, that is, you know, that's a very, obviously a huge moment in my life that doesn't happen without her. Anne was telling me that, you know, one of the toughest things for her going back to Disney World is going to be riding the tram in. You know, some of the trams play the musical version, the instrumental versions of music from the films. And whenever she was with Joe going into the park, it always happened that they would catch the instrumental version of Colors of the Wind, and the two of them would sing it at the top of their lungs, like a couple of idiots. June 21st was my aunt's birthday, and, you know, she had just passed away a little over 2 weeks before. And we were in Banff, Canada, my wife and my kids and I, at the time. And we were texting back home because we knew everybody was kind of having a rough day. And we walk into this little taco stand in Banff called Magpie and Stump. And, you know, as I'm texting Anthea to say, Anne is what she goes by on the show, to say, hey, I'm thinking about you today. I hope you're doing okay. They start playing Colors of the Wind. It comes over the, you know, satellite radio or CD or whatever it was they were playing. And it wasn't the Vanessa Williams version. It was the version from the movie. And so, you know, it's, I get that this is a Disney podcast and we don't usually get this kind of personal, but I wanted to let you guys know where we had been. I wanted to let you know why that for a whole month, the two of us just didn't feel like we had the level of joy in us to do this kind of podcast. Our family has set up a donation in a donation drive in Aunt Jo's name to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. I will put a link to that in the show notes and also when we post this up on Facebook. But that is where we've been. We're back for the foreseeable future. And I guess this is where we say goodbye now.
Bye.